Well, it's May 4th, 2014. It's been a long time, hasn't it? It's been a long time since you've heard my voice. It's been a very rough 2 weeks, very rough. I hope that I should be back. This is PJ, your internet pastor in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America on this wonderful planet Earth. I just got through watching the little clip on CNN News. Obama played comedian in chief at the White House Correspondent Association dinner. I rather enjoyed it. I enjoyed that clip. As a matter of fact, it was so enjoyable, I'd like to watch it again when I get an opportunity. I have to, you know, I'm ahead of the game right now. I have to catch up with these three classes, get some real honorable work done, put up some posts upon my website, then I'll be done for the day, and I'm going to try to get it done within the first 3 hours this morning. I thought that I'd spend a little time talking with you because it is Sunday, and usually I have a Sunday sermon, and my Sunday sermon situation, you can go on my website and listen to any sermon you want and practically anything if you're looking for conventional Christianity that makes any sense to you. My website is replete with those things. I try to pride myself in that and putting up some good, solid biblical clips. Just little comments because I had planned on talking about this situation with the leader of the over this LA Clippers thing. You know, I was going to talk about that. That's why I said, really, what else is new? I didn't want to have the webcast on racism because you will always have that. People will feel like that, and so I just want to comment on that very quickly. Doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter who wins the what. You know what I did? I was so busy. I'm starting to write my memoirs now. Really getting my mind in shape here recently. I had to purchase a brand new computer, and I did that, and it's open and ready for writing. I had my television cut off, the cable. You know, the part where you see all the football games, basketball games, and all of that. I have a smart TV. It keys into my email, my website, and everything. But for watching TV now, I may watch a movie on Netflix now and then, and that's about it because I don't have time to watch too much other television. I find out what's going on the news by watching the news networks on my computer, and that's sufficient for me. Isn't that a wonderful picture, me setting abreast with these young men? I got to tell you about this situation. I was taking care of a little business yesterday, and I was driving down the street. This really enlivened my heart. There's a young lad that I had in my philosophy class, young black guy, and he was struggling through, I forget which philosophy class it was, but he struggled. I was helping him through the semester with his writing abilities, asking him to concentrate a little bit more. He's right out of the inner city, product of the inner city. He had fathered a child and in his early 20s, like most of them, and confused. And I kind of counseled him and told him what to do, and he had a problem because he had to go see the judge, and I wrote him a recommendation letter. And as I wrote him the recommendation letter, I never knew what happened because I put it in his hand the last day of class, and I said, I hope this helps you in your life. Well, I'm driving down the main boulevard on the way back home from taking care of a little business yesterday, and I'd sent someone, every time my car would move up at a signal, he would move up. And I sensed, and so I turned and I look, and so I said, get a Mini Coupe and it'll solve all of your problems. You know me, I just start talking like that. And he said, you don't know who this is, do you? And I looked, And I said, no, I don't. And he told me his name, and the name sounded familiar, and then I got the face. It's been at least 2 years, at least. I'll have to go back on my records and see when he was in my class, but we pulled over at a little business park and shook hands, and we talked. He was in the car with a girlfriend, had to be a girlfriend, not the mother of his child. We got into one of our regular conversations, like I get into with young men, the fulfillment of a young black man. And so he's with the young black woman, and I'm thinking about the marriage counseling page that I have on my site, where I tell the women to kiss their husbands, to love, you know, make the young lad feel good. You know, I believe that one of the most intimate things that human beings can have is a kiss between each other, because that's a very intimate act. And I was saying, forget the point that he can't get the job that he needs right now to take care of you. Forget the point that things are rough. Look at him. Appreciate him for who he is, for where he is. Knowing that God has orchestrated the time. And he looked at me and he said, thank you, Mr. Coleman. You always. And I, you know, I just love encouraging him and encouraging his woman. And it was a wonderful thing. And we exchanged numbers and told each other that we will definitely hook up, go out to lunch. And man, I've been doing that lately and just having a great time. I was talking with an older person, telling him one of the secrets of getting old and staying old is appreciating something about the younger generation. I appreciate the hope and the ambition that's in them. I know that there's going to be some tripping up, some falling, some trying to find your way and get it done, but all in all, it's good. Just like me watching the little tape of Obama at that press conference dinner. I guess that's thanking the press for being so nice to him, huh? He had the media. That's one thing this president had, and it was a jovial thing. I guess I'm a liberal in disguise, because I laughed at all of his jokes. I looked at CNN News. You can see it there, headlining it on their news broadcast today. And it was very, very nice watching that, because I have a different flair of watching political things now. I care not for either party. I care not for no politics in this country. I don't think that any of it is worth my while as a Christian. I don't vote. I haven't voted in years. I'm not going to vote. Not because I see myself not a part of this world. I am a part of it. But I got some good news for you guys. Hey, you guys want to hear something exciting? The most exciting thing that I have ever, ever, ever. I mean, the last time I believe I got some money back on state and federal income tax was, I believe, back in the 70s, the last time I ever got anything back. No, 70s or early 80s, because it was in the early 80s that I started taking on extra jobs, like the pastorate and, you know, getting love offerings from the church. And I've always paid taxes on everything that I get. I don't believe in getting money and not paying taxes. And even when I was a pastor, I paid taxes on the money that I got. I know that there's a stipulation out there that pastors don't have to pay taxes if they can, but I paid taxes. Matter of fact, I'm still paying taxes from a couple of years back. My tax bill came, and I pay it as I get money to pay it. Well, this 2013 was an interesting year, because this was the first full year that I was just getting paid from working as a professor. And to give you guys the good news, this is the first year since, maybe the early 80s, that I haven't owed any taxes, that I'm getting some money back. Can you actually believe that? Wow. Can you actually believe that? That I'm getting something back. from the government. They're going to give me something. Instead of taking something, I have the hiccups. Instead of taking something from me, I'm getting something. Now that's because I'm only making the money, and I'm only being taxed for the money that I'm getting as an adjunct professor. Now, you guys want to know how to make it? I've been telling you guys that you can make it almost on nothing. I eat one meal a day, thanks to my friend Bob Klink. He gave me some hearty medicine to keep my weight on. The protein stuff that he gave me, I have to renew that today. I'm going to go and try to get some of that. But I have to up my protein drink again. If I stay with my protein drink, stay with my meds that that the hospital has given me for my heart. And exercise. Today is a gorgeous day. It looks like one of those bike days again. If I continue to do that, I will feel good. I feel like not $1 million. I feel more like $10,000 today. Because I got to finish the paperwork here in the office, and then I'll be done, and of course get the webcast done, and then I'll be done. But I am feeling great, especially since I don't owe any taxes. And when I went to my tax consultant, I thought that I was going to owe again, and she said, "Well, Pastor John, you don't owe anything." Oh, is that somebody trying to talk to me? Wait a minute, let me unlock the door. I'm doing a webcast. Yes, I have the mic running now. Yeah, well, just say hello and goodbye. Yes. Hello. Did I tell you that this is the first year in 2013, T, that I don't have to pay taxes, that I'm getting a return?
2014.
For last year. Okay. I don't know anything. I went to Andrea, she said, "You get money back."
Congratulations. See, I mean, you have beat the system.
Yeah, I beat the system because I ain't hardly making no money, getting nothing. And so now you can pay me. And I don't eat nothing. He knows it, ladies and gentlemen. I eat one meal a day. One meal a day.
I just stopped by to say good morning. Hey, headed to work.
I appreciate it. Hey, see, the young man is going to work. Morio's out of Dodge. T's out of here going to work, making him some money. You know I'm happy about that. All right, son, you have a great day.
You have a blessed day, too,
yeah,
sir.
Bro, man, good morning.
Come on, dog.
All right, come on, get out of here. Get out. And then you can close that door behind you. Now, back at what I'm saying, you see, it is of the utmost importance that you listen to Pastor John. Yes, it's going to get rough. You don't need that much money. A lot of people think that they need that money to survive, to keep on, you know, making more money. Just make more money. You make less money. You eat one meal a day, one major meal a day. Snack during the day if you get a little hungry. What I plan to do today is to ride my bike, and I'm thinking about hooking up with that young guy today that I met yesterday. So interesting. I like talking with him. Like to see what's been going on in 2 years of his life and give him some encouraging tips. I really do. I would rather spend my time with the young person than I do with the older person, because the older person has heard the drill, had the drill. I got to give the young man margin and cadence. That's what it is. And I like that. T just knocked on the door. "Hey, man, going to work. See, there it is. Going to make some money." No, he doesn't have a car. He's going to get on that train and go all the way to another city to make him some money, and so that he can make his life go. Oh, it's rough out here. It's rough out here. But you know what? With God's grace, with God's help, I'm kind of happy for Morio. Morio is out of here. He came back here for a few months. And he's a lot better, but he's the same Canto, but he has to go. I said, "You're at an age where you have to get up out of here. You don't stay here, and you go." Now, as I continue to grow, I'm growing in areas where I am learning some things now, and I have to deal with my sins in a realistic way, because when you deal with these young people, you have a tendency to let things go that you didn't used to let go. You have to, because they haven't been brought up with the same moral fiber that I have been brought up with. So I have to kick in that moral fiber as I communicate with them. I'd like to read from Isaiah chapter 1, starting with verse 16. It's God's call for personal cleansing. That's what I like to call this. It says, "Wash yourselves, make yourself clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight," God says. "Cease to do evil. Learn to do good." This is a good lesson that I want to teach young men. Now you say, "Well, why not the young ladies?" I need ladies to teach ladies how to be moral. I can't do that. The only thing that I can do is to suggest. I would not pair up with some of these women. No, I would not. I could not. It is. I know how easy it is for me to have lewd thoughts. See, lewd, lewd thoughts, if you will. And so I know how easy it is for young people to have it, and it's difficult for them to hold on to that which is good. When it says learn to do good, and then it says seek justice in verse 17b. It says learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the ruthless. And that's what I'm talking about. In other words, bring a verdict of judgment against ruthless people. And sometimes when you're dealing with young people, you have a tendency to kind of lean their way because you not want to be friends. One of my older friends said, "Well, what, you just want to be friends with them?" No, I'm not trying to be friends. I never had fluid, avid relationships with young men when I was a young man. I got married too quick. I never established a young man friends. I had one friend, Beaver. He died. And the other friends that I had in church, well, that's another story altogether, because you have to be a friend the way they want you to be a friend. You can't be yourself when you're in church with church friends. You can't be yourself. Only a few guys in the church were really transparent with me, and we were both ashamed to talk about it. Our transparency, we were very dear friends, very close friends. But it was a kind of a thing where it made us ashamed to speak about our friendship, because it wasn't the kind of friendship that everybody thought that we should have. This one thing that people look at you and have an expectation. Check this out. People look at you and have an expectation of how you are supposed to be, act, behave, and get along with each other. And when I was a pastor, there were certain couples that I was very friendly with the gentleman's wife, because I liked the way she cared for her children. I liked the way she nurtured them, took care of them, and I complimented them. Lucy used to get a little angry at me sometimes because she thought that I was getting too close. But I never thought that I was too close for comfort. I believed in that a total Christian transparency with relationships with other people. Now, a lot of people think that that was wrong, but there's where they got it twisted. No, that's the way. You can be that way with certain people. I recall I was going to ordain a Hispanic guy named Luis. Luis, he was a fine little man. He was working in an automobile dealership, I think. He was trying to get in there selling cars. And he didn't have very many sales, and I liked his energetic appeal to the gospel and all of that. And so I was going to make him my first Hispanic deacon. He was Mexican. And I was going to make him my first Hispanic deacon. That was, I think that's the straw that broke the camel's back. That did it. The black man was so self-centered about there. It's a different world that we live in now. This is a cross-cultural world. You can't live in the city of Los Angeles and be a black man and not. Oh yeah, I'm curious. let me see. Let me go back to CNN News, and because I don't know who won that fight. Floyd finds a way in an all-out brawl. So Mayweather won the fight, huh? Okay, so he's undefeated. Okay, because I was wondering who won the fight. See, I didn't go see the fight yesterday. I stayed home. I was watching a movie on Netflix in my office. And no, I didn't go see the fight. I'm kind of glad that I didn't, because I don't care. Hispanics are like my cousins. We are both minorities, and we are both struggling to make our lives work in this wonderful country of ours. And so I don't see it a battle against the races. Man, I'm looking at this clip on CNN. Floyd has a good build on him. Good build. So does the other guy. What's his name? Mandana? Yeah. He survives the battle. Well, I'm glad that he survived it. Recap analysis. Well, let me play this clip right here. I guess they got something
on the new car.
Thanks. The dealership reviews.
No. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I only want to hear the. I only want to hear the deal. You know how he won. That's kind of interested to me. They have commercials on everything now. Can you believe that? On absolutely everything. And I'll get back to the text. I'll get back to the text, because I think that it's wonderful to teach men this. Well, here it goes. Let's see what they say. Right. Okay.
It was close, but money got it done. Floyd Mayweather takes down Marcos Maidana. He goes 46-0. Lyle Fitzsimmons, feature columnist for BR. The man's undefeated. Where do you put him against the all-time ranks?
Wow.
Well, you know what? I think a key thought he was against, who say he is legitimately one of the top 25, 30 fighters ever.
How about that?
You say, you know, if he had fought in the 80s and against the Leonards and Durans and Hearns of the world, he might not have fared too well. But, you know, beating a guy in Maidana, who's a big, tough guy, but, you know, a lot of people really didn't expect him to give Mayweather that much of a push. So, you know, I think it's a get-out-alive kind of deal for Floyd, and he pretty much maintained
his
status.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, he decidedly beat him. I'll tell you one thing about Floyd. He's going to be a very popular young man now. The media, the press, everybody's going to be around him and all of that. And, man, they got clips. They got clips from all over this thing here, man. They are just, he is the media's champion today. Isn't it great to be a champion? I mean, to be in it, where did they fight at? In Las Vegas somewhere? Yeah, probably. What a fight. But let me get back. If I were to talk to these young men out here trying to, you know, because everybody wants to be Floyd Mayweather. Everybody wants to be that. Everybody wants to be the champion. Everybody wants to think that they're the greatest. That's another thing about this generation of youth. They're all champions. Well, you'll be a champion if you do this. Now, let me go back. Let me go what it says. Again, I'm looking at verse 17. Learn to do good. That's a call for action. Okay? Then it says, seek justice. And you seek justice as a young man, as you find yourself being disciplined, getting up every morning, going to work, taking care of your own business. That's one of the things that I try to share with the boys. Take care of your own business. One thing that I pride myself in doing now, I'll help a young man get on his feet, get on his way. I'll help him take care of some so-called indebtments that he may have for a little bit. But then, wait a minute. My door keeps coming open. Yeah, let me lock that. Hold on. I'm in the Lucy Coleman studio, and it's not very secure. There we go. not very secure. Things be falling over. Oh, paperwork Sunday. That's what this is. Don't worry, students. I'm going to put up the notes on the internet in a couple of minutes. Plus, I got tests and exams to work on and to grade and all of that. My whole life is taken up by this. I never believed, I never thought in my actual life that I would be putting so much time in doing this other than preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God the way I used to years ago. I don't know, I was thinking about shutting down the website, shutting down YouTube and everything, but I'm going to keep paying for this website, keep it up. It's about $80 a month, and I'm going to try to keep that going as much as I can because of what I do. Because I know the people come to my website from time to time. Let me see. I'm just trying to take a look and see how many counts, how many hits I have on the website. I haven't checked in 376,854. That ain't bad for a rinky-dink, raggedy website. And it's pretty raggedy because I don't, you know, keep care of it the way I used to. So, I'm training them. Now, when I come to verse 18, when Skip Brown, I want you to look at verse 18. If I were talking to a young man, I would say, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. See, this is God's call to a counseling session. I would say to a young man, you know, God is calling us. Oh, wait a minute. I think I skipped verse 17, and I don't want to do that because I want to do justice to this. It says, learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, and plead for the widow. Now, let me deal with some of these things right here. When it says seek justice, you can only do that from a disciplined way. In other words, sound, beautiful, that is beautiful and sound. Seek that. Then when it says reprove the ruthless, it means give a verdict of judgment over someone that does something foul to someone else. I often tell young men, don't get entangled with the woman that's going to entangle your life for the rest of their days. Listen to this. The average young man does not think about marriage the way that we thought about marriage when I got married. For those of you old timers, they don't think about marriage the way that we do. They don't view it in the same way. Walking down the aisle, the white dress, all the gifts and that. Now, that still takes place in families where people have money. Traditions are nice. You know, they're kind of nice and you can do that. But very rarely does that happen. I see it less and less. It happens with people with money because, you know, they still make pacts with each other. But these young people don't make those kind of pacts now. When they find somebody that is just towards them, that is kind toward them, that translate into love. Love is translated into a far different thing. It's like the questions that I ask my students of what love is. Oh. You should hear some of the answers. Defend the orphan. In other words, litigate. God is saying, litigate for the helpless person that doesn't have a parent to help them. And a lot of these youngsters themselves are orphans. And they need someone to litigate for them because I'm going to tell you the truth. Without an adult taking parental care over some of these children, it's amazing that some of these children have grown up in the first place to be worth anything. Then it says, plead for the widow. That's interesting. Yes. Defend the orphan, plead for the widow. That's that litigation. That's that kind of a thing there. When it says reprove the youth ruthless, I forgot to tell you, that means relieve the person that is taken advantage of by ruthless people that consequently does not care for their lives in such a way. And then it wants to start at verse 18, where it says God's call to a counseling session, where it says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. In other words, he wants you to respond in a legitimate way to the things that need to be responded to. And this is a wonderful thing once you really look at that, because in responding to things like that, he says, come on. He says, let us reason together. In other words, he's saying, when we reason together, let's see if I'm not right and you wrong in that. That's what I try to get the young man to see. I don't come up to them and tell them, you're wrong for doing that. That's sinful. You're going to do it. No. Reason with it. Reason with them. Church has ceased to do that. Church doesn't know how to reason with anybody. Church does this. Well, if you don't agree with what I agree with, if you don't head in the direction that I'm heading in, if you're not traveling in the same light and path that I'm traveling in, then it is definitely something wrong with you. There's something amiss with you. And so now you're supposed to reason together. You're supposed to come with me to this point. Then what God says, though your sins are as scarlet. Now, you have to confess that. You see, God isn't talking. I'm getting a call in. Hold on, and I'll get back with you in a minute. All right. There it is. Another person. Let me leave it alone. But there we are. He says, though you have to confess that. And I tell the young man, you know, you have to do that on your own. I'm not here to condemn you of any acts that you may do. I just want you to know that God is watching. There's a one monotheistic God. He is not just a God to a private group of individuals who has the lock and the key to God, who knows how to get into God, who knows how to correspond with God like that. He isn't that. He is the God of every human being on the planet. This is the God that I'm talking about. Now, the fortunate thing about the book that I read from is that if you read from that book, this is, I believe, we would say is the mind of God, especially when you read words like this. And whenever we get into the idea of sin and everything, youngsters kind of like shy away from that because they know what the church has done. Well, they're not like me and I'm not like them, and so they condemn me and things like that. I just had a young man come by to visit me, okay, to my home, and we greeted each other. And he said, well, aren't you going to give me a warm greeting? Because I usually give him a warm greeting. And that is a way, you see, you have to pass that superficiality, because they don't believe in superficiality. People that are superficial cannot be trusted. If you want to get along with this young generation, you cannot be superficial. They are looking for genuineness, not ingenuineness. Ingenuineness doesn't work. It doesn't reign supreme. Only genuineness. Now, God says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, in other words, he says, you've messed up with God, they will be white as snow. Now, that's potential. And then he says, though they are red like crimson, that is dyed in it, they will be like wool. And then he says, if you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. This is what I tried to tell him. Shema. Okay. And this consent means you have to hear in order to consent. You just can't consent without hearing. You have to hear. And then you can undertake the whole action that is placing you at risk. I think about it. I was talking with a friend of mine last night, and we were talking about friendship. And I have a lot of new friends. I don't The friends that I talked about friendship with prior, I believe that some of them still listen to me. They really do. They still listen to me from time to time when they want to, but they're not real friends, because if they were real friends, they would continue to bridge the gap and to be my friend. But I'm not going to be a friend based upon what they want me to be. I don't know how to put this. You know, for for the majority of my life, I was befriending people that wanted me to be their friend based upon their, you see what I mean? And not upon mine. I had a friend of mine, and he would always say to me, you know, you need to come out here for the holiday because you know that you have more fun out here. You know, I'm your real family. No, you're not. I had a heck of a time telling this guy, I got more family than you think. I have more friends than you think. And it was kind of like when I was embedded in the church, he said, no, you can't find any friends outside of us. I says, man, there are beautiful people on this planet. Beautiful. Millions that God has created. And I'm not, if you guys really want to be free, I mean, really want to be free, free of the slavery of being enslaved to someone else's ideology, someone else's opinion about something. Like I said, I was looking at that Obama clip, and I don't feel negative about Obama, though I don't agree with his policies. I don't agree with any of his policies. I think that he is one of the lousiest presidents that we ever had in the office there. I, as a black man, can say that. But do I love the guy? Yes. Do I want to hurt him? Do I want to talk about he and Michelle and his daughters? No. Do I want him to be safe? Do I want him to be full? Do I want him to be content, happy? Yes. Do I want him to live a far longer life than I? Of course I do. I want all those good things for him. That's what God would want me to have. He says, God says, in verse 19, if you consent and obey, you will eat of the best of the land. I am consenting and I am obeying. So God is saying, John, therefore, ergo, it's going to be well with you. That's what he says. But if you refuse and rebel, in other words, God says, John, if you resist, I'm going to make a pronouncement upon you. You will be devoured by the sword. In other words, you will be consumed by something that you're living by. And this is a very difficult task to share with young people because they don't know what I'm talking about. God is a God of divine judgment, not a God of human judgment. See, there's two extremes. It's Sunday morning, and you have great fundamentalist churches that you can attend. And in these fundamentalist churches, they can, you know, talk about a God of wrath, a God of vengeance, a God of, and then you got the love fellowships, agape fellowships, and they're talking about nothing but a God of love. He allows everything. You can do anything, be what you want to be, throw it up in God's face, and he's going to smile at you and all that kind of stuff. Well, that's Tommy Rod. God isn't like that. He's not like either both of those things to the far extremes. Look what it says right here. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. In other words, God has arranged that. That's the consequence of God's calling. There's a positive and a negative. And I try to tell the young man, you can do one or the other. You can have this positive relationship with God or a negative. And when I look in their eyes, and that's why I have that picture up on the website, because my whole ministry is going towards this generation. This generation, not church people. I don't want to see these guys sitting up in no church. And let me tell you something. I have discovered how. Wait a minute. You guys want to know how to win them to God. I'll tell you how to win them. Love them. I don't care what they've done. I don't care who they are. Love them. Just the way that Christ would. Love them. Let's stop beating around the bush with this. You know, we always say, oh, well, you know, there you go, Pastor John. There you go. You talking about that love again. Love them. You want to change your community? You want to stop all this killing and everything? Love them. I was talking to the young man. You know what? I had spoken with him on the street, and my car was in one lane next to him. So what he does is, in the car, as he pulls over and gets to the right-hand side of my car, the window was down. It was very warm in Los Angeles yesterday. And so that he can talk to me from the steering wheel, he's trying to have a conversation. I said, look, man, we can't hold up traffic. Pull over in this business park. He slowed down, let me get in front, and he followed me. I pulled over in a business park. We talked about 10 minutes. And he saw that I still loved him. I looked him up and down. I said, you looking good, man. You sounding good. His eyes are bright. Youthful expectation. It was beautiful, man. It was beautiful. It was like me talking with a son that I've always had. Love these boys. These boys are going to do good. They're going to do good. But you know what? They're going to do good if they get the right kind of counsel. Did you see what I did with Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 through, 20? 5 verses. You see all that I got out of that? And you know what, my friends? You can do the same thing. You don't have to open up a Bible and share it with them. I do it on the webcast because it's obvious. You can go to Isaiah chapter 1 in the Old Testament and start at verse 16 and see these words. If you believe that this is the inspired word and will of God, and you share this with a young man in love, you share it with them, saying, just do this, abide by this, you're going to be all right. Don't listen to your peers. Don't listen to the women when they try to tell you these things. You don't need that. I try to levy the point by getting my TV cut off. You don't need that. Just too much entertainment. Too much of that. Hey, I'm trying to cut back on everything, people. I cut back on money that I make, cut back on this and that. Look, now I don't owe taxes. I hope to get all my money back next year. Mm-hmm. Live off of what God has given you. Be grateful for that. Be kind towards everyone. So, that's a webcast. I'm glad that you can come back and listen to me now. I'm going to get to work and tally up all this paperwork. I want to leave a good word with you, though. Listen to this. I'm still in the book of Isaiah, chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 10 says, say to the righteous that it will go well with them, for they will eat the fruit of their actions. But then verse 11 says, woe to the wicked. It will go badly with them, for what he deserves will be done to him. So the point is, either you're righteous or you're wicked. That's me too. Sometimes I think I'm wicked when I have wicked thoughts. It's just my desires to be a full person. I have to be very careful because your desire to be a full person and to acknowledge that fullness can turn into wickedness if you don't watch it. Be aware, there are good spirits and there are bad spirits. And both of these spirits, believe it or not, I'm talking about the metaphysical a little bit now, are waging war against each other for supremacy. And that would be a good word to ask a young man to define: supremacy over the life of the individual. A friend of mine called and told me, I used to pastor him, and he called and told me that one of his family members was shot to death, and how they wanted to give the payback to this person that did it. And I told him, yeah, that's just what wickedness is doing. It's fighting for supremacy over your life. And wickedness would like you to do that, and so that he could castigate you into a bad light in the sight of a loving, gracious, merciful God. There's one thing that I am always a pastor. I will always be that. And I will always caution a person instead of condemning them. I'll let God do the condemnation. He does that far better than I. And I pray that after all these years of my life that I'm not being deceived. Seriously. That I'm not being deceived. That I can still do a webcast and speak graciously about the God that I serve and that I love by looking through the mirror of my mind and seeing exactly who I am and how I'm responding to this world in my life. Well, anyhow, it's been a wonderful time speaking with you these 45 minutes and 29 seconds in this webcast. It's Sunday, and I do want to finish all this paperwork and get these slides up and everything. God bless you. You know the drill. Whatever you do, stay into the Word. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.